Good afternoon, this is Paul Segrist for the National Park Service. Today is Friday, September 29th, 1995. I'm in Toms River, New Jersey, with August Mercandino. Mr. Mercandino came from the north of Italy in 1921, and he was 17 years old at that time. Present also is Mrs. Mercandino, who's going to be joining us and perhaps may interject with information as the interview goes on. Anyway, thank you very much for letting me come out. And can we begin by you giving me your birth date, please?
February 24, 1904.
And where in the north of Italy were you born?
It's a small town near the Alp. They call them Pralungo.
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 Mrs. Mercandino, can you spell?
Yes, P-R-A-L-U-N-G-O.
P-R-A-L-U-N-G-O. Pralungo.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about that town when you were a child? What sticks out in your mind?
Well, it was a small town, near the Alp, and it was nothing. It was right after the First World War. We didn't have nothing to eat. It was very poor, that's all.
What did the buildings look like in that town?
They all make stucco. All the buildings, they make out of stucco.
And is there one building in that town that sticks out in your mind from when you were growing up there?
Well, that was the store nearby, the Coop, Cooperativa. Huh?
Mrs. Mercandino, if you need to speak, speak yeah, full voice. Yeah. Speak full voice so the microphone picks you up.
The beautiful church you had.
Oh, yeah, the church was beautiful. That's yes. Otherwise, it was the city hall. It was most time, was nothing to in it at all.
Can you describe for me the house that you grew up in?
Well, it was a house with two rooms downstairs and two rooms upstairs, and we had the attic up there. There where I used to sleep in the attic.
And it was stucco like the other houses?
Yeah.
And what kind of a roof did it have on it?
Tile.
No, there was not tile. There was like clay. They all make like this.
They was like a semicircle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so there were two stories and then an attic.
In the attic.
And what kind of floor did you have in the house?
Wood.
Wood floors?
Wood.
How did you heat the house?
With a stove in the kitchen.
What kind of a stove?
Regular stove. We didn't have nothing else but that. We used to burn wood in the stove. And we didn't have nothing else. We always stay in the kitchen in wintertime.
Did it get cold in the
winter? Oh, my God. We have snow sometimes 3 or 4 feet tall.
Is there a story that you have about experiencing a snowstorm or something like that in Italy as a child?
No, I don't even know. No.
You just remember that it was deep.
The snow was up in the Alps, but by us too, we used to come like two or three feet tall, high. But I used to go work about a mile away from home. I was 12 years old when I went to work. And we used to walk in the snow, but like this high, with short pants on it.
The snow was about 3 feet high. Oh,
yes.
Working in short pants.
Yeah. At that time, nobody cleaned the snow in the street, nothing.
How did you light your house?
We have candle. No, not candle. We have something there about this big. They put the oil in it, and we used to light that thing there. It was a little bit of a light, nothing else. Then my father later on, he put the electric in the house.
Do you remember when that happened, when your father had the house converted to electricity?
Oh, sure, I remember. But
can you tell me what that process was?
Oh, the light was too much, not a light like this, was only a little tiny bulb, you know. That's all. We used to stay like that.
What did they have to do to the house in order to put the electricity in it?
They have to take the wire from the street and bring them over where I used to live. And then they have a light outside, so everybody can see when they was coming in the street. That my father did that.
How did he run the wires into the house?
Well, like I do over here, the wire come over, when you come over from the street, they hook the wire. From there, they come in the house, like they do over here.
Were the wires inside the wall?
Yeah, sure, it was the wire inside the wall, yeah.
So did he have to take the walls down to do that?
Well, my uncle, he used to build the houses. He cut the place just to put the wire in, then he blocked it. That's the only way you can do it.
How did your family feel about having electricity in their house?
Oh, they was happy, that's all. This is nothing, you know, it was nothing really new.
How old were you when that happened?
17, I don't know, I was about 9 or 10. That's it, 9 or 10 years old.
Did you have running water in your house?
No.
Where did the water come from?
We used to go in the street and pick it up. In the winter time, it was a little brook alongside the street. We used to break the ice to pick the water to wash our face. Then they had a well. And we used to put the pail go down in a well there, pull the take the water.
Was there a sink inside the house?
No, we didn't have nothing like that. No, no.
Did you have a toilet inside
the
house?
No, no. No, outside the toilet.
Did you have glass on the windows in the
house? Oh, yeah, that, we have glass, yes. Yeah.
Did you have a garden with the house?
Yes, we have a garden in the back of the house.
What did you grow in the garden?
Well, vegetable. And my father, he had some kind of fruit. Plum and vegetable, that's all.
And what did you do with the vegetables?
We used to eat them.
Yes. Did you do anything else with them?
No.
Did you ever sell any of the vegetables?
No. Practically everybody over there, they have a garden in the back of the house. And they used to raise the vegetables that you eat in the wintertime. Like cabbage or something like that.
What kinds of food do people eat in the north of Italy, up there? What did you eat when you lived in Italy?
Well, we just eat polenta, if you know what it is.
Can you describe for us on tape what polenta is?
Well, you put the water with salt in it, then you put cornmeal, and you cook them there. You turn them all the time like that. You turn them until it's cooked. Then we used to eat that with milk. Well, you know, we didn't have nothing to eat over there. That's why I come over in this country.
Did you ever eat meat when you lived in Italy?
Once a week. Breast de veal we used to eat. Once a week. On Sunday.
What did you drink in Italy?
Oh, wine.
And where did you get the wine?
Oh, we used to buy it. The place they used to buy the wine, we used to buy it.
Did anyone ever tell you... Oh, no, scratch that. Where did you sleep in the house?
Well, in a bed, but I didn't have no mattress. They used to take, the cornmeal, the corn, the leaves.
The husks.
Yeah. They used to take that, put them in a big bag. We're all in it, in both sides, two all like this and two all over there. And when you get up there, my mother, she used to... raise the thing
kind of
again.
Fluff it up.
Fluff it up, yeah. And when you go to sleep, you used to sink in.
Did you sleep alone in a bed?
Yeah, it was alone, yeah.
Okay, I'll go back to the question I was going to ask you. Do you know anything about your birth? When you were born, did anyone ever tell you anything about when you were born?
Well, This is a long story. When I was born, my father went away. And my mother went to work. So they gave me to another woman to mind me. I was a little boy, very little. And I was there until I was about 6 or 7 years old. And then when I come back, I didn't know my mother, I didn't know my father. Because they didn't raise me. And my father, when he come back from where he was, I remember he picked me up, but I was scared because I don't know where he was. That's my story over there.
Where did your father go?
He went to South Italy.
To the south of Italy?
Yeah.
To do what?
He was working in a textile. He was fixing machine in a textile.
Why did he leave the town?
For the money. To make more money over there.
What did he do in the town where you were, Harry?
The same thing.
Where did your mother go?
My mother, she was a textile worker. She used to run the loom. Textile worker. She used to run the loom. Where I come from is a lot of woolen milk. They used to make material stuff. All that time I stopped.
Did she ever visit you while...
She used to come down to see me once a month. I remember that. Because I say I was about 6 or 7 years old when they took me home. And I remember like now. Once a month I used to see my mother.
Can you tell me a little bit about the family that you lived with? Who they were and...
They was not related to us at all. They was not related. What happened, that woman shed a baby. And the baby died. And so that's why they take me. And the woman used to feed me. Like she used to feed her own baby.
She would breastfeed?
And then in the summertime, he used to take me up in the street. He had a goat. And she used to, on the way up, she used to stop and milk the goat and give me that milk to drink, goat milk. That was very good.
What else do you remember about living with that family from when you were
It's nothing that I remember much. I remember they had a boy and a son. And a boy and a daughter, they was home. That's all I remember. I remember nothing else.
And so you went back to live with your mother and father when you were... So I'm to believe that your father had returned from the south of Italy at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they live in the same house that they had lived in before?
Same house.
Yeah.
When my grandfather died... My father bought the house for my grandmother. And my grandmother, she always lived with us until she died.
Whose mother is she?
My mother.
That's your mother's parents?
Yeah.
How come you didn't go to live with the grandmother when your parents went to their respective jobs?
Well, my grandmother, she couldn't take me. We had 13 children. She couldn't keep me there until my grandfather died. My mother took her mother in the house. Living with us.
I see. Well, tell me a little bit about what you had to go through to adjust to living with your mother and father once you went back to live with them.
Well, it was nothing to it. We just lived together. That's all.
Well, you said you were a little frightened of your father.
Oh yeah, that I was. Well, I came to this country. I still was afraid of my father. I was 17 years old. But then we went back to Italy in 1949. Then it was altogether different. We was talking, huh? We was talking, and it was nice. It was beautiful.
Did you have to make any adjustments to being with your mother?
No. No.
What work did your father get when he returned to your town?
He was working in a textile. He was fixing the machine in a textile mill.
I see.
That's why he went to South Italy, because he was making more money there. And then when he got, they have to teach all the people to work. When he was finished, he come back to the town.
I see. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got one brother.
And what's his name?
Armand.
And is he younger or older?
He's 13 younger than me.
13 years younger than
you?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Tell me, did you go to school in Italy?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me what you remember about going to school.
Well, I went to school only with the first class. When I was 13 years, they sent me to work. I couldn't go ahead, but my mother... Soon I was 13 years, my mother, she came over, she gave me...
Wait, we're going to just... Caught on your foot here. I'm just going to put the microphone back on. There you go. Yeah.
What I was talking about.
your mother, we're talking about school, going to school. And they sent you to work when you were 13, but you said you went to school for a year.
No.
More than that.
I went to school until the fourth class. Four. Then after that, I went to, they sent me to work in a textile mill.
What do you remember about going to school? What sticks out in your mind about that experience?
It was nothing. Nothing. It was like when you go to school over here.
Could your parents read and write?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially my mother. My father, four brothers and a sister. And the mother died when they was very little, young. You know, they went to work my father went to work when he was 7 years old. And all the other brothers too. That was, was tough for them. And my grandfather, he was a shoemaker, he was making shoes.
Were they all from this same town?
They all in the same town, yeah.
Do you know how your parents met?
No, that I don't know. I don't know. But they met in a town because they both live in the same town.
What job did they send you to when you were 13?
12. Well, first they sent me to work in a foundry.
In a foundry? Like an iron foundry?
Yeah. They used to hit me over there. There was one guy who used to hit me all the time. Because I was supposed to... They like to say, you want to make a wheel. I was supposed to go up the stairs and get the wheel and bring them down so that they make the form in a dirt. If I was late, because I had to look around, when I was late, he used to hit me in the back all the time. Until I told my father about it. And my father had come down, and the president of the company was the mayor of the city. When my father come down, they call me in the office, and I tell them the truth, what happened. So he say, take your coat and go home. And I went, from there, I went work, learned to work in textile.
And can you describe for me what it was you did in the textile mill? What was your job?
Well, we used to make spool Then the spool, they used to go to another machine, and they had a big wheel, tremendous big wheel, and they used to make like a warp, they used to call them. And then from there, they bring them to the loom, and they used to make the material.
So the thread is on a spool, then it goes on to the warp around this
big wheel,
and then that is what was brought to the loom to be woven.
Yeah.
What was your job? In there.
I was making the spools.
You did the spools.
Yeah.
Do you remember how much you were paid at that young age?
Well, I tell you, I was making, that was a corner how much you used to make, the spool you used to make. Then they used to give you a bonus. You know, well, we used to make more than that. I always get a bonus. But the bonus was supposed to keep it for myself. But my mother said, never give it to me. She used to take it. Until my friend He used to work in that mill as a secretary. Then he fixed it. That was no more. It was no more bonus. So she used to give the money to me. Otherwise, I would have no money. I never have money. I didn't have money to buy a cigarette.
So you turned over your paycheck right to your mother then, the money.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
What did she do with it?
She used to live. That's all. She used to buy the food, whatever we was able to buy.
You mentioned that you didn't have enough money for a cigarette. When did you start smoking? How old were you?
12.
And do you remember who taught you how to smoke?
Nobody. Everybody was smoking over there, 12. And I stopped to smoke how much? Many years ago? By 18. I was working yet. I can't remember how old I was when I stopped smoking.
Do you remember what kind of cigarettes you were
Macedonia.
Smoking?
I always remember that was Macedonia cigarette.
Macedonia cigarettes.
Yeah.
And what did they look like? Were they
like cigarettes over here? The same thing. Same thing. The only thing over there, you could not buy a cigarette in any store that you want. You only buy the store from run by the government. It's like the drug store. It was run by the government.
Why was that?
I don't know. I can't explain you that.
Can you talk to me a little bit about World War One and the period between 1914 and 1918, and if the war had any effect on your life?
Well, it was terrible. It was bad. Because we didn't have nothing to eat. And we used to go in a rice field and pick rice in a black market. We used to go with a bicycle at night with a sack in the back. And that was not near. It was about 2 hours with a bicycle. And that's the way we used to eat. They used to make soup with rice, and that's it. We just water and rice, that's all.
What else sticks out in your mind about that time period?
The only thing I know was bad, very bad, very bad. That's it.
But it was the food that was the worst part.
Food, we didn't have no food at all. No food at all. Don't forget. Oh, no. We was in war with Germany at that time. With Kaiser, I think, was. We didn't have nothing to eat, that's all.
Did you ever see any soldiers during that time period?
No. They didn't come into Italy. The Second World War they did, but not the First World War.
What religion were you?
Catholic.
And how did you practice your religion back then?
Well, like you used to go to church on Sunday. And after school, we used to go in church for pray. We had a priest that tell us what to do, you know, like that. Talk all about religion.
What about at home? How did you practice your religion at home?
We never mentioned it, the religion at home. And my mother, she was working 6 days a week, and Sunday, clean the house, wash, because she didn't have no time to do it during the week. She was working, and she could never go to church. But she was a religious woman, though.
Was she more religious than your father? Who was more religious, your mother?
My mother was more religious.
Do you remember any prayers that you were taught as a child in Italian?
Oh, yeah, I remember Ave Maria.
Can you say that in Italian?
Say the Ave Maria?
It's Latin.
Huh? Latin. It's not in Italian, it's Latin.
Is there a prayer that you can say in Italian that you remember? Not a Latin prayer, but in
no,
Italian.
Everything was Latin over there.
Everything was in Latin you learned. Yeah, okay. What about a holiday celebration? Did you celebrate the religious holidays?
Oh, yes. What day? 15th of August. The 15th of August was the religious for the Ar Khan.
Is that like like a saint celebration? Saint,
yeah.
Do you know which saint it is, Mrs. Mercadino?
Yeah, what is Madonna Europa.
Madonna, what was the name of the Madonna?
It was some feast of the Madonna.
Yeah. For the Madonna. And then we have the Black Madonna there too.
How did you celebrate? How did you?
Oh, everybody used to go like, go in a saloon in the morning, have a vermouth. In the afternoon, everybody used to go out, a good time, that's it. And they have the band playing all the time. They have a place where they used to dance outside. Then I used to play there too. I used to play in the music over there.
Did you say you went to a tavern and had vermouth?
Yeah.
That's how the celebration would get kicked
off. That was only start in the morning.
Uh-huh. What about Christmas?
Oh, Christmas, we never celebrated like they do over here. Christmas, they used to make, like here, they make the Christmas tree. But over there, they make no Christmas tree because they had the baby, Jesus. And we used to go over there and see they have the baby there laying in a stable like. And we used to go over there and look at them. That was not Christmas at all, I guess, over there. Not like over here.
Was there a special meal that went with Christmas over there?
No.
It just wasn't a very important holiday to celebrate.
Yeah. The meal, like any other Sunday.
You said that you played an instrument. What instrument did you play?
Trombone.
Play trombone. Who taught you to play the trombone?
Oh, I went to school for that.
In Italy.
Yeah.
There was a music school in town.
Well, we had a band in town, and the teacher is the one who teach me. But before I start to play it, I have to read all the music. It took me about almost a year. You had to go like this all the time. Until I was able to read the music. Then they put me in a band. And the teacher told me, if you don't know, if you think you don't know that note, don't play it. Until I got used to it. But when I got used to it, I come to this country. When I was 17.
So you still played the trombone once you got to America, then?
No.
You didn't.
Oh, well, wait. This was in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Easton, Pennsylvania.
A friend of mine, he was playing in a band there. And he took me there. Columbus Band, they used to call it. And he took me there. I don't know what happened over there. They start to fight. We get out. Me and my friend, we got out. And I don't go back no more. I was scared to forget it.
Do you remember any of the names of the music
songs
you played in Italy?
No, I don't remember. We used to play marches, that's all.
When you were growing up in Italy, what did you know about America? Before you got here, what did you know about this country?
In Italy at that time, they used to say, the Americans, they're all rich. They didn't realize how hard you got to work over here too, right? And I thought when I come over here, I say, oh gee, I go, you know, when I was rich, I'd be a rich man too. But it never happened.
Had your father ever been to America?
No.
Did anyone?
I only have one uncle in this country, my father's brother. That's the one he sent me the money.
In Easton.
Yeah, the one he said, no, he was in Phillipsburg, this one. He sent me the money and the paper to come over here.
Tell me about why you wanted to come to America.
But everybody wants to come over here, over there.
But why? Is it the money? What was it?
The money, everything. But mostly it's the money. Well, I want to tell you one thing, what my mother said. What my mother said. The American thing is they only got the money good, nothing else. I was offended with my mother. But I excused it because she didn't know any better.
How did your parents feel about you going to America?
Well, that's the one they sent me over here. This is the one they write to my brother to send me the paper and the money. And that's what my uncle did over here in Phillipsburg.
They wrote to your uncle to send you the...
Yeah.
What did you have to do to get ready to leave Italy?
Well, we have to go. We have to go to the American consul. Get the. The first time I was supposed to come away, they won't let me come in. I was young. The second year I went over, and they, with a friend of mine, that he know the consul, American consul. I didn't have no problem at all. I got the passport. Then I went to the agency, get the ticket for the boat.
Did you have to undergo any kind of medical?
No, the medical is only here at Ellis Island.
It was here in America, but not in Italy. You didn't have to do that. Where did you go to the American consulate? Was there one in town, or?
No. What was the city called Turin? Is about 2 hours by train.
So to travel to Turin to get to the consulate.
Yeah.
Had you ever been on a train before?
No.
Does anything stick out in your mind about that experience being on the train?
No. I was so happy to come over here that I never think about the train or nothing. But what was bad, the boat.
Okay, we haven't got you on the boat yet. Hang on. Let's get you on the boat before we talk about it. What did you pack to take with you to come to America?
Oh, my God. I had an old second-hand suit on it, an old pair of shoes, a pair of stockings, nothing else. In the valise.
And what was in the valise?
Nothing. That's all I'll tell you.
Was there an object that you took with you as a remembrance of Italy?
No.
Did anyone give you anything to take?
No. Oh, yeah, they gave me my father's hand. They gave me some towel to bring up to some cousin over here in the United States.
A towel?
Towels. Towels.
Huh. Was there any kind of a send-off, a gathering for you before you left?
No. And my father came to the station, to the city, where I took the train. I think it was another uncle. They came... Then I took the train and I went. I never put it.
And the train, where did you go to get on the ship?
Genoa.
And how long of a ride is it from your town to Genoa?
We make that by car when we went over there. It's about 4 hours.
By car? I'm wondering how long the train ride was from when you left to when you arrived in Genoa.
Oh, I don't know, it was by 4 or 5 car, and it was a small train.
Does anything stick out in your mind about that train ride going to Genoa?
No.
Are you by yourself?
No, I had another woman from the town.
From your town, another woman?
If it wasn't for that woman, I wouldn't be here today neither. Before, she was supposed to take care of me.
Like a chaperone?
Yeah, until I came over here. And I come over here when they come over here. It was in Thursday. And we stayed 3 days in a boat for quarantine before they take us to the Ellis Island. And then they took us to the Ellis Island in a barge, like. And then from there, I went through all the examination and then I wait for the train. At 6 o'clock, I took the train. But I know my uncle, he was there waiting for me in New York. But they missed the ship to go to Ellis Island. So when I was in Ellis Island, I saw a place where they sent a telegram away. And I went over there in Italian. I went over there, I want to send a telegram in this address. I have the address where I was supposed to go. they went over there, there was nobody home by my uncle. So they bring up to the people next door. And the people next door, they bring up to my aunt's father. And they was in home. And then when they come home, they see that, and they come down in the station, pick me up.
Was the chaperone, the woman with you through that whole experience?
Oh, no.
Where did she go away?
When she got off the boat, she just got off because her husband was in the United States already to pick her up, and that's it.
So that was it. So when the ship docked, you went off to Ellis Island, were in quarantine, actually, before Ellis Island. She just got off the ship and went home.
Yeah.
What was the name of the ship?
Giuseppe Verdi.
And what do you remember about seeing the ship for the first time?
For me, it was no. It was a ship, you know. But in a ship, we used to eat on the floor. Did I tell you that before?
No, tell me about it now.
We used to eat on the floor. And they asked us to be in six. Together. And when they give you a sack with one dish, one fork, one knife, one spoon, and one bottle of wine, empty though. So we didn't like that. Nobody liked the food over there. Nobody.
On the ship.
On the ship. Nobody. So at night we used to go down below to sleep. It was one bed there and one bed at the top. And then the ship from when he left Genoa, he stopped in Naples. And when all the Naples people come in there, they stole everything we have. Because we have the table set already downstairs to eat breakfast. They stole everything. That's why we used to stay upstairs. Right there in the front of the ship. Right there we used to sit there.
What else do you remember about being on the ship?
Oh, it was nothing else. Nothing.
What did you do all day?
Nothing. We didn't have a place to sit or nothing. We used to sit on the floor. Until one day the ship starts going like that, up and down with a big wave. Just before we got into New York, a night before. They all send us down the stairs, and I fall asleep. Good thing I fall asleep. Until then, the next day when I get up in the morning, the ocean was calm like here, like that. Beautiful. And we came to New York.
How long did the ship take to get to New York?
We sailed the 6th of May. We got in New York the 18th of May.
Is there anything else that you remember about being on the ship or anything that you might have seen that you had never seen before when you were on the ship?
Oh, we passed the state of the Iraq and Gibraltar. That's all what I saw. And once in a while, you used to see like a small island. I don't know what it was.
Did you see any animals from the deck of the ship?
Oh, yeah. We used to see those dolphins go in and out in the boat. They used to follow the boat. But when we went to... this one we went to Italy before, after. When we stopped in Spain.
Ship came in.
Oh, you stopped? Yeah, yes.
Ship. Can you describe what
stopped? Yeah, yes.
Can you describe what that was like?
Well, everybody used to all, you know, but I don't know what it was until I come over here. I know that the French donate that, I think, to America, the State of Liberty. But we passed the State of Liberty, and then the boat stopped there after that. Then the pilot come in the boat. And they check all the passport, everything that was all right. And then we went to New York, back in New York.
Now, why was the ship quarantined for 3 days before you were let out?
Because they don't want the people to come over here with disease. And every day we used to take a shower. And they was afraid that time, especially in Naples, the people, they was not clean at all. You can see they was there with the thing they got in their hair. I don't know what they call them.
Lice.
Yeah, I used to see that.
Well, what happened during those 3 days? You said you had to take a shower. Was there anything else?
No, after we was in New York, we didn't take a more shower. Oh. No.
When the ship was quarantined for those 3 days before you were brought to Ellis Island, had the ship docked already, or were you just anchored in the harbor?
No, the ship was docked already.
The ship had docked, yeah. But no one was let off.
Had to stay there, yeah.
Yeah.
And we used to watch you outside. I was playing baseball, and I used to say, look, the stupid guy, they hit the ball with a stick. You know, I didn't know it was baseball. And then was a train going in there, right there. Now it's not there. There's not no more train over there at all.
Tell me about how they took you to Ellis Island when you were finally released from the quarantine.
As I told you before, they put me in a box. All the people, they went over there. We went to Ellis Island.
Were they all Italians on this ship?
Yes. Yes, they was all Italian.
But some were from the north and some were from the south.
Yeah. But was one boy... was a brother and sister. They was Italian. The sister, she talk Italian, but the boy didn't talk that Italian. They have a different dialect altogether than us where they used to live. And he couldn't talk Italian. And then boy, they sent them back. They didn't let him come in over here. I don't know if it's because he didn't know the language or I don't think it's that. But he may have something wrong, I don't know. They sent them back to Italy. To where it come from, right in the Alp.
From the north.
Oh yeah.
So from the north. Tell me what happened when the barge stopped at Ellis Island. What happened? Go through the process for me.
Well, like I said before, you go in the church benches. You know, you go benches like this. It was all kind of benches. Every bench was the destination where you were supposed to go. Some days to go to California, in different kind of state in your here. And when they went over there, like I told you, they make an examination. After that, they sent me downstairs.
When they examined you, what did they look at? What were they looking
Everything
at?
Everything they went through from head to foot. They check everything. My heart, my lung, everything.
Did you have to take your clothes off, or could you leave your clothes on?
Only the top.
The shirt.
Yeah. And then after that, they sent them downstairs. After we went downstairs for the train. And downstairs was all, they were selling, they call them. I can't remember what they were selling there. I know I bought cigarette. Oh, ice cream. In Italy, I never have ice cream, so they used to give you a big thing of ice cream. I used to give them money, a dollar maybe, or five. I don't know how much I used to give them. And they used to give me a lot of money back. And I said, Jesus, I used to put in my pocket. I was happy because, well, I went home. When I left Italy, I told you I had $20 in my pocket. When I went home, I still have some money left.
Did you have to show money at Ellis Island?
No.
So at Ellis Island, you bought cigarettes and ice cream. Was that at Ellis Island that you bought the ice cream and the cigarettes?
Yeah.
And did you eat anything else while you were there?
No.
And how did they get you to the train station?
They have the train down below. We went down, and there was a train there, ready to leave. I can't remember if it was the Central or Lehigh Valley train. I know they let me open Phillips, but they had a ticket over here. They put a ticket over here.
On your clothes.
On my clothes.
On your clothes.
To let me off in Phillipsburg. And then when I got off in Phillipsburg was her grandfather and cousin. They picked me up and they took me home. And when they took me home, they gave me something to eat. That time is the first time I eat white bread with no wood in it.
white bread with no wood in it.
Yeah.
How long was it before you got a job?
Oh, I started to learn a week. I stay home a week. Then right away they teach me how to weave.
What did you do during that 1 week when you didn't
I was lost. I was stay home, that's all. Nothing, didn't do nothing. Oh, I was playing music. My uncle had a troll, you have to crank it like this. I was put the disc on it. I used to play that, that's all.
Did you want to go to work?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. But when I went to work, in the beginning, I tell you, the first week I make $6. Then after that, I used to make 1 week maybe 22, next week 29, something like that.
So the first week you made $16.
Six dollars. But then after that, I met a fella who came from Poland. He can speak English. I couldn't speak English. But he was working in a place where they make a lot of money. And he told me,
pointing back and forth, you and him.
So at 6 o'clock at night, he come over to me and he grabbed me and he took me down where he was working. And he introduced me to the foreman. He was very nice though. He gave me a job right away. There when I started to make money. At that time I used to make $120 a week.
Is this a weaving kind of job?
Yeah, weaving. Yeah.
Can you explain for me the first job, what you actually had to do? When you say weave, what do you mean? What did you actually do?
Well, that's what I told you. I learned how to weave, and then after that, they give me one loom to run. I was running it. And then after that, they give me two.
So in this part of Pennsylvania, they're doing the same kind of textile work that they did In Italy,
same
what
thing.
What kind of cloth are you making?
A cloth that you make in suit, like pants, suit, whatever. No shirt or nothing like that.
So it's a heavy,
yeah,
a heavy weight,
yeah,
fabric.
Yeah.
And who taught you how to run the loom?
My aunt, my uncle's wife.
Did she work?
She worked there. With
she it. Worked there too?
Yeah.
Tell me how you went about learning English.
Well, in Petersburg at the time, nobody talked English. So.
Well, were they all Italians? Or were there?
A lot of Italians. There was a lot of Italians there. Practically all from the north.
What were the other nationalities there?
Irish. Some Polish, but very few. But most, a lot of Irish. And they used to belong to the Ku Klux Klan too. But was one family, they have five children. Her name was Mrs. Lowe. And with the five children and Mrs. Lowe, they used to teach me. Every night after work, I used to go down there and teach me until I started to learn little by little.
Was she an Irish woman?
Yes.
And do you remember some of your first words that you learned in English?
Yes, I guess. Yes. And no. I know I hear a guy one time over there. This Irish guy used to insult me all the time. I hear him. I knock him down in the street and I was kicking him. And they you're not allowed to kick him when they down in the street. You know. But after that, they didn't insult me no more.
How did he insult you?
Guinea, wop, that's it.
So he was actually, he was making fun of you because you were an immigrant.
That's right. Yeah.
Did that kind of thing happen a lot back then?
After that, everything was all right. Was our Irish people, we had a club in Pittsburgh, Italian-American Pleasure Club. And all those Irish, they didn't like the Italian. They all come over there and be a member. And we accept them. And they turn out to be nice. But before that, one time we was coming down in the street and there was this bunch of Irish in the corner. And they insult us. But I had this big guy that just come out from Italy. They went over there, they beat him up. That's why they let us alone after that.
The Italian guy beat up the Irish guys.
Yeah.
Were the Irish, I'm just curious, were the Irish, did they insult any of the other groups? Like,
I don't think so.
It was just the Italians.
Yeah.
How did the Italians feel about the Irish?
At that time? Yeah. They didn't like it. But then we all got together. Then was all right. After a couple of years that I was there, was all right.
I guess I'm just wondering if the Italians beat up the Irish as much as the Irish beat up the Italians. You know, if it was all mutual.
No.
Where were you living all this time in Phillipsburg? Were you living with your uncle and aunt?
Yeah, my uncle and my aunt.
Can you describe where you slept in their house?
A regular bed like you do over here.
But, I mean, did you have your own room?
My own room.
Uh-huh.
They have a house with 3 rooms downstairs, 3 rooms upstairs.
And the money that you made, were you responsible for paying them a certain amount of
money? Oh, yeah. I used to send $50 a month to Italy, too, after I started to make a lot of money.
And so how much did you have to pay your uncle and aunt?
$6 a week.
$6 a week, and you're sending $50 to Italy.
Yeah.
So that doesn't leave you a whole lot.
I still have money.
And what would you spend your money on? Other than cigarettes, probably.
Oh, cigarettes was nothing to it. But I don't even remember. Oh, I used to... Oh, suit. I used to... My uncle, he was always going where they sell cheap stuff. And cheap is cheap. I used to pair a pants every week. In Phillipsburg. Every week I used to pair a pair of... Buy a pair of pants.
Because they were so cheap, they just...
Yeah, they just... But then when I started to grow up, then I was all right. I was well dressed up and everything.
Talk to me a little bit about this Italian club that you...
Oh, it was beautiful over there. It was beautiful, nice people. And outside we have two alleys that we used to play bocce. You know what bocce
is? Bocce ball.
Mm-hmm. Bocce ball. We used to play that. Inside we had a pool table where everybody used to beat me. And we played that for a drink, nothing else. And then New Year's Eve, we had a party upstairs that you won't believe it. We have table all around. All the food was free. And my wife, she come over there, she can tell you. She used to enjoy it there too.
When you were first there, when you were first in Phillipsburg, was the club important to your life when you first got there? Or did it later on?
Not right away, no, not right away. But after I started, you know, I started to meet people. And my uncle used to take me up in a club. Then I joined the club, and after that was all right. It was beautiful.
Was the club an important? Were women a member of the club also?
No.
No.
It was only men.
Were there events but, that women could come to?
But the women they used to come in. Yes, we had a bar downstairs, and the women they used to come in, and especially Saturday night before I used to go home, I used to go up in a club for a glass of beer. And there I used to, all the same people that was there, good friend of mine. We used to have a couple of beers, then I used to go home, that's all.
How did you feel, when you were in America, did you miss Italy?
No. I never miss Italy.
Were you in communication with your mother and father?
Oh, yeah, I used to write all the time. And my mother used to write to me. But she used to say all the time, come back, we want to see you once more. Finally, we decided, me and my wife, to go in 1949, was to go back. And we was there for 4 months.
And what did Italy look like to you after having been in America all that time? How did you feel being there?
Well, there was a little improvement. not much difference. Was not too much difference.
What year did you meet your wife?
Oh, she was 8 years old. And she was terrible too. I remember one time was Christmas. It was Christmas. We went to her father and mother. They took us, me and my uncle and my aunt, they took us to a restaurant in Union City. And they music, and she wanted to dance. And her mother said, "You don't know how to dance." So she still insists on her mother. She got up and she was dancing, and she was going like this.
Running all around.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I always remember that.
Well, what year did you get married?
1943.
And say your wife's name for us on tape.
Elsie Lombardi.
Elsie Lombardi. L-O-M-B-A-R-D-I. Lombardi. Mm-hmm. And so you were married in 1943.
Three.
And did you have children?
Yes. A son.
Yes?
1945.
And what was his name?
Armando.
Armand. And you went back to Italy with your wife.
Yeah.
Yes, for one of those trips.
Yeah. And my son too. But my son was only 4 years old.
Were your parents still living then?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
That's why we went over there in account of them.
What did they think of your wife and child?
Oh, my wife, I have to tell you the honest truth, she treated my mother like her mother, maybe better. But the only one thing, you know, I only have this little boy. I used to buy him toys, I used to buy ice cream over there and everything. And my mother, she told me, "Oh, he don't have to have all that." And I told my mother, "He's going to have what I didn't have." Because I never give him nothing. They don't go by birthday, they go by saint. So my saint, they never give me nothing. And when we went back to Italy, my saint, my cousin, he was a florist. He come down with a platter like this, all full of fresh figs, and all in between was all flowers. Ah, it was beautiful, you won't believe it. My people, they never give me this much. Never.
Did you become a citizen?
Oh, yes.
What year?
Oh, Jesus, a long time ago. I know it was in February, but it was a long time ago. I can't remember the year.
Yeah. How did it feel when you became a citizen?
Oh. When we went over there, this was in Belvidere, New Jersey, the capital of Warren County. The mayor of the town and this Mrs. Lowe. And when I went over there, the man, he raised his head and he see the mayor and Mrs. Lowe, he know who they was. And he said, "I don't have to ask you no question." And this was in wartime. It was against war against United States. He said, "I don't have to worry because I know that he's all right to." You give me the paper.
Do you think of yourself as being Italian or American or Italian-American? How do you think of yourself?
I think to be an American. I'm an American. I think of being an American. I don't even think about Italy no more. Never.
Well, that's a good place for us to end. Mr. Mercandino, I want to thank you very much for letting me ask you these questions.
Can you say anything now?
We're still on. Let me just sign off. This is Paul Segrist signing off with August Mercandino and Mrs. Mercandino on Friday, September 29th, 1995 in Toms River. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.